wanted just to share a few thoughts, which I hope could be somewhat helpful. We all know that there's a mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva basically is returning to Hashem and to His ways from any way that we may have deviated. We'll deviate. We'll do our fair share of deviations. But there's something there that's very frustrating about tshuva. And the older we get, the more experience we have, the more we have this frustration. And that is that, you know, last year, Yom Kippur, I was very sincere. I really wanted to make improvements. And really, I felt I was doing well. And here I am, a year later, nothing much has changed. And even if something has changed and I've improved, it's maturity, it's time, it's experience. I don't really see the effectiveness of this, what seems to be overrated mitzvah and process called tshuva. So I noticed something that I thought very interesting in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra from the Ralbag. And he says like this, he says that the idea that we have that a person could do tshuva is because ain tzadik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechto. There's no person who doesn't sin, that's for sure. If, he says, a person would believe that his mistake, his chait, his avera would be recorded for posterity, he'd never be able to change. Because, I messed up. It's over. That's it. I messed up on this life. What I did wrong was recorded in permanent, unerasable ink. It remains forever and ever, maybe even into the next world, the next life, and he wouldn't be able to change. He says, therefore, comes along this message of tshuva and says that we have the ability to eradicate, retroactively undermine and uproot anything that we did wrong, and it becomes as if it never happened. In the language of the Mesil Sushorim, he puts it this way, he says, Akiras harotzoin kakiras hamaise. The uprooting of the will, I really regret it. I wish I didn't do it. It equates itself with the uprooting of the action as if it never happened. Wiped completely away, clean, never to be remembered, never to be recorded, never to have existed. And he says that this is critical for the process of tshuva to take place. Because if we do not know that we can eradicate the past, where the blemish, my record is already soiled, I messed up, there's very little that I could do to keep on the straight path after that. Now, this is very irrational, no question about it, because any rational thinker knows that save what you can, do better. Is it rational to say, well, since this is recorded for posterity, so I'm going to continue doing these things because I already messed up. Well, now you know, you're going to have more recorded for posterity and more recorded for posterity and more. Before you know it, the volumes are going to be endless of everything that's recorded there. So it just doesn't make an ounce of rational sense. Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful moshul. He talks about a person that has a push cart with apples. There's 1,000 apples there, and somebody stole 300 apples. The guy runs after the guy and says, take the rest, take the rest, take the rest. You lost 300. You still have 700 left. What are you talking about? So it doesn't make an ounce of rational sense. And the answer is, it's not rational. It's emotional. Emotionally speaking, this idea, I messed up. I need that perfect record. I want the slate to be clean. Once I have this demerit against me, I give up. What are you talking about? You're going to have 2 and 3 and 4? You're going to ruin your life? Genished. That's the psychology of a human being. So tshuva becomes so important, because if not for our ability, and if not for the chesed Hashem, that he allows us to eradicate the mistakes of the past, we would just keep on doing more and more and more, and couldn't bring ourselves, despite how rationally logical it is, we couldn't bring ourselves to stop. Because once I messed up already, it's marred, it's messed, it's dirtied, forget it. It's just like, you know, you have a dirty shirt, and once it got dirty already, oh, what's the difference? A little more dirt, a little bit. Clean something that's perfectly clean. I don't want to do it. Very, very interesting concept. So I think that it really requires a deep sense of appreciation of what an opportunity we have. What an opportunity we have to... Now, everybody, I'm sure, sitting in this room can think of something that we did that we're a little bit embarrassed about. Whatever it may be, and we really wish it never happened. But it happened. What can I do? Not so. It's from the special Chesed Hashem that we have the power to retroactively eradicate it, cleanse the record, as it never happened. And therefore, psychologically, a person can actually feel, I'm starting fresh. I have a perfect record. And there are no demerits. I have no negative credit scores. It's a whole different level of motivation to face a brighter future and to be more careful to make sure that I maintain that record. When it comes to defining what tshuva is, that can also be very overwhelming. And if we study the sources, like the Rabbeinu Yoinah and the Shaarei Tshuva, an entire sefer just written about tshuva, it sometimes can say, like, wow, I don't know, I can't handle that, it's too much, how am I going to get there? It's only 2 days left to Yom Kippur, what's going to be? Comes along the Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Goyim, Chaim Valozhna, he was known as, he's the one who started that first yeshiva, Valozhna Yeshiva, Valozhna. And he says the following. He says, Mi'ikar hadin, midina v'gemara, which means according to the strict understanding of the halacha, tshuva is very easy. Very easy. He says, what it amounts to is a gemiras das. I make up my mind. I don't want to do this again. I made a mistake. I did things I shouldn't have done. I make up my mind. Shelo yoshuv lekis le'oy. This foolishness, I don't intend to do again. And then he says, umariras halev, and the bitterness of the heart and the remorse and all of these things that Rabbeinu Yonah describes, the yeser says, lifnimishuras hadin. But meikar hadin, if a person wishes to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, which means the power of that tshuva to eradicate the past, a person has to fulfill this to this extent that he says, I made up my mind, I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing this again. It's a very, very encouraging thought, because it brings it within the realm of possibility. We can't make up our minds that we want to improve. We can't make up our minds that we're not satisfied with the mistakes of the past and we'd like to change them. And that seems to be the Iker definition of the process of tshuva. But I think there's something else that can also be very, very helpful. And that is that when we stand on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah hayoyim is to do tshuva. But the underlying concern is that if I don't do tshuva, or either way, this is the day when whatever decisions have been made for the coming year are going to be finalized. So it's a very serious moment. How do we approach that moment? We're going to try the best we can with tshuva, We're going to realize that tshuva can eradicate and cleanse the slate. Therefore, we're much more motivated to do it. And we realize also that it may not be that difficult to get the process started, as we just mentioned. But now what? How do I take it to the next step? So I thought I would just share with you a paragraph that we say every day these days in the Slichos. And it's indicative of another attitude that's very critical on Yom Kippur. Ki al rachamecho horabim onu betuchim. We are trusting, relying on your infinite mercy. Ve'al tzedkoisecho onu nishonim. And on your tzedek, righteousness is translated, but really, like the Vilna Gaon explains, it means on the fact, on the meter that you have, that you give people beyond what they have earned, beyond what they deserve. So, al tzedkoisecho onu nishonim. We're counting, we're leaning on that. V'lislichoisecho, and for your forgiveness, onu mekavim. We're hoping. V'lishuosecho, and for your salvation, for your saving us, onu mitzapim. We are awaiting. Here we have four languages of bitochon. We tell Hashem, we say, listen, we want rachamim, we want tzedek, which means giving us beyond what we deserve. We want forgiveness, and we want Yeshua. We want to be saved from all of our tzaras. And we're telling you, we're counting on you. We're relying on you. And therefore, because we're counting on you, we're expecting a response. We're expecting a result. We're expecting rachamim and tzedek and slicho and Yeshua, all by dint of the fact that we're counting on it. We're waiting for it. In fact, when we say on Yom Kippur Avinu Malkeinu, which we repeat a few times, the Marsho explains that what's the language Avinu Malkeinu? Our father, our king. Well, he's both, I guess, but like, what are we referring to? So the Marsho says, we're referring to the little piyut that we said on Rosh Hashanah after Tkiyas Shofar. Hayom HaRasoilim. Im Kibonim, we stand in front of you in judgment. Im Kibonim, Im Ka'avod. Either as bonim, as sons, as children, or as servants. Im Kibonim, Rachameinu Karachim of Avonim. If we're like your children, Rachmonis, a parent and a child, as Rachmonis. Im Ka'avodim. But if we're not worthy to be considered your children, and we're only standing here as servants, what do? We're not worthy to be children. I don't know what kind of good servants we are either. Einenu l'chotluyo is ad shetchonenu v'soitzi cho'or mishpoteinu. Our eyes are riveted on you, and we're awaiting, we're trusting, we're counting on you until you have mercy on us. So basically, what we're saying in Avinu Malkeinu again and again and again, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, is that if we're worthy, then you should have rachmanas on us like a father to a child. The im ka'avodim, if we're not worthy, you're Malkeinu. And if you're Malkeinu, we are going to count on you. You're our king. We have no one else to turn to. You're the all-powerful. You're the only one who cares about us. You're the only one that we have any real connection with. We're going to be counting on you and not going to take our eyes off the heavens until you respond to our tefillos. So the whole Avinu Malkeinu too for us is based on a sense of trust that we have in Hashem. And here we find it expressed in the four most critical ingredients that we want, which is rachamim and tzedek and forgiveness and Yeshua. It's all, we're trusting, we're relying, we're counting on you. But then he goes on. Atohu melech oyhev tzedokos migeder. You are the melech who loves tzedokos, who loves to give beyond what we earn, beyond what we deserve, from time immemorial. And what does he do? Mavra v'inesamoi, meisachatos yireyot. He overlooks. He overlooks our shortcomings. He overlooks our mistakes that we make. He made a bris with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he fulfills this, actually with the others also, and he fulfills this bris with us today. And then we go on to discuss the recital of the Yud Gimel Midos, which we do at night on Yom Kippur, which we do in the Ila again, which we do every day during the Slichas, which basically are statements of the extent to which Hashem goes to forgive us and to inspire us that we should put our trust in Hashem. So what really comes out of this whole discussion is that there are two activities, let's call them, that really should be paramount in our thinking when it comes to Yom Kippur. One is the mitzvah of Shuvah, as best as we possibly can, and with the realization that it has the power to eradicate, and therefore it makes it realistic to think that I will in fact do better in the future. If I don't know that it has the power to eradicate, and I think it's going to be permanently, indelibly imprinted on my record, then the Rabbah taught us that it's not going to work. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm not going to do better. And the second one being to trust Hashem that He's going to help us. And I want to just share with you very briefly an expression of what could motivate us to put that trust in Hashem. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Sefer HaCholos, must be a Kabbalah Sefer, in the halachas of Kedusha in the morning, the end of the first chelik, and he says as follows. He says that Hashem talks to the Yorde Merkova. Forgive me, but I'm not quite sure who they are. It's a mystical concept, I guess those that Malochim or whatever it is that come down here. Toimru v'tagilu lebona. I want you to go down and tell my children, Bnei Yisrael, what I do when they say Kedusha, when they say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. When they lift up their eyes, that's what it says, you look up, when they say Kodesh, 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 you lift your eyes everywhere, and they elevate themselves a little bit, and they put, I'll put my eyes to connect with their eyes, and they're attempting to connect with me. And I am so overwhelmed. No, I'm sorry, I left out the punchline. He says, go tell them, Ein li hanoa bo'ilom. Hashem says to send a message to Klal Yisrael. I have no pleasure in this world like the pleasure of when Klal Yisrael says this Kedusha. And they stand, they elevate themselves, they focus their eyes on my eyes and try to connect with me. And they say the words, Kodosh, 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 Hashem tzvokos, v'loy chol oretz kivoydim. And I become so overwhelmed with that thrill, with that pleasure, Kaviyochel Hashem is speaking, that I have, that I take hold of my Kisei HaKovoid, which is Bidmus Yaakov Avinu, whatever that means, it's something in the form of Yaakov, and I grab hold of it, and I hug it, and I kiss it, and I'm motivated to bring about in a more speedily fashion their Geula, because of this connection that was forged between us. What is that connection? What is this Kodesh Kodesh? What's this all about? So I want to suggest, Kodesh, as I mentioned, the Vilna Gaon says, is Kodesh really means mufrash. It means he's above and beyond. When we say Kodesh Kodesh Kodesh, means Hashem is so far out, above, above, above. The repetition is just the extreme extent of how much above he is. In what? Well, in everything. But what are we referring to? If you recall, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we say, Vayigba Hashem tzvokos v'mishpo. Hashem is elevated in justice, mishpo, v'hakel hakodosh nikdash bitzdoko. Hashem is considered kodosh, above, 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 mufrash, in the midah of tzdoko, which the Goyim taught us means giving beyond what people earn. So when we turn to Hashem and we try to connect with Him, we lift our eyes to His eyes and we elevate ourselves and we say, you are so far away, removed, Kodosh, 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 in what? In the midah of tzedakah, in the midah of giving people beyond what they have earned. Which then Hashem looks at us and says, I'm overwhelmed with love. I so want to connect with the Klal Yisrael that I take hold of the Kisei HaKovoid and I hold it and I kiss it and I'm mimara the geula, and I want Klal Yisrael to know that I have no hano in the world like this moment. And I believe that the pshat is like this because when a person recognizes that Hashem is there, above and beyond, far, far, kodesh, 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 to give us beyond what we believe, beyond what we have earned, then you know what happens? We put our trust in Him. What's the only thing that prevents a ma'amin, one who believes in Hashem, and in His goodness, and in His kindness, and in His involvement, the only thing that keeps us from trusting Him that He'll give us everything is maybe I'm not deserving. But if I know the extent to which Hashem gives even when I haven't earned it, even when I'm not deserving, so then there's no interference with the midah bitochen. Then I can put my trust in Hashem. Then I can truly say and feel ki al rachamecho horabim onu betuchim val tzidkoisecho onu nishonim v'lestichoisecho onu mekavim v'lishuosko onu mitzapim. And that really is, I think, the second most critical avodah on Yom Kippur, besides the avodah shuvah, to be able to recognize that Hashem, in His infinite chesed, in His infinite love, in His endless and above and beyond kodesh, 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 midah of tzedakah, of tzedek, of giving one beyond what he has earned. Now I can have bitochen. And I would suggest that it's the bitochen that inspires in us that Hashem says, Ein li hanoa be'ula. Because the Vilna Gaon says that the ikar of the nesimas ha-Torah li-Yisroel, of the Torah being given to Klal Yisroel, was kedei she'yisimu b'tchonim b'Hashem, that they should put their trust in Hashem. When we put our trust in Hashem, trust is the ultimate cement in a relationship, even in a human relationship. That's the ultimate cement. And when we put our trust in Hashem, Hashem says, that's it. You've reached the pinnacle. You've reached the accomplishment. You've reached, in a sense, the purpose for which I created the world and for which I gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Ein li hanoa be'ula. I think if we take these two concepts together and we realize the opportunity to undermine and eradicate and retroactively remove any mistakes that we've made, and at the same time to be able to put our trust in Hashem with a clear heart, because He has this midah where He not only forgives, but He overlooks and He grants people beyond what they have earned. If that's the case, I can put my trust in Him. When I put my trust in Hashem, everything changes. Because one of the ultimate rules of creation is that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't disappoint the true Baal Bitochen. The Meiri's Loshen is Habeitech Bashem, one who puts his trust in Hashem, Ein Teicheles Shaloi Nitzabo, that hope, his hope, will never be disappointed. Hashem does not ever want to disappoint the Baal Bitochen. I think these two ideas could possibly be helpful and maybe make it a little bit easier to accomplish lasting accomplishments, accomplish confident accomplishments, accomplish real accomplishments for ourselves, for our family, and for the future. Hashem should help. We should be able to see through the Yom Kippur and the ensuing year that our tefillos will be answered. The challenges of the past year or two should disappear, should be retroactively, if that would be possible, uprooted. We should be zeicher to a year of brocha and hatzlocha and refuah and mazel and yeshua and nachas for us and for all of us. If anybody has any comments or disagrees with anything, please.
I think the obvious is like, so you rely on Him and then He does disappoint sometimes. So what's the, so He doesn't want to disappoint, but sometimes,
well,
He does.
Well, so you see, the two things that we have to know. Number one, there's endless and infinite levels of reliance. There's the famous story from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Somebody said he needs 10,000, whatever the currency was, buy a lottery ticket. Happy toch 100% that you're going to win. A few months go by and he says, yeah, has betoch, nothing happens. Comes back to Rabbi Yisrael and says, I have betoch 100%, but nothing happens. He said, you still have betoch 100%, you're going to get it? Absolutely. Will you sell me the ticket for half price? Okay, you got a deal. Who are you fooling? So number one, we don't necessarily have it. But don't fret, because the Chofetz Chaim writes in a letter, Kifi Goydel HaBitochon, Kach Goydel HaTzlochon. It's not all or nothing Bitochon. To whatever level of Bitochon we had, it's to that level that we influence the success. So there's definitely influence. That's number one. Number two, you know, Hashem doesn't disappoint us. But, you know, there's short-term disappointments and long-term disappointments. He is the master of timing. He's the master of timing. And sometimes it'll seem that he isn't listening, but in reality, he has a plan. Someone just told me that a young man used to learn in yeshiva, really works on bitochon, is really into the whole sugya, he and his wife, both of them together, and they have a business. And the one with Soy Shabbos, they decided they were going to go to the store, whatever it is, and organize things a little bit. They went to the basement and they found that a pipe had broken, and there was some damage, minor damage to their sphere, nothing terrible. They fixed it and they really made sure that pipe was, you know, the way it should be and everything. They cleared up everything. A couple of weeks later was this terrible storm that we had, and the whole block of stores over there, their basements were destroyed. And all of their sphere that they had in the basement was saved, because they made the extra measures to make sure that the pipe couldn't burst. So here what appeared to be very disappointing to these Bali Bitochen, that they will live and they work and they give tztoka with such Bitochen, and here they had this disappointment. There must have been maybe $100, $200, $300 loss. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, they find out that it saved them from thousands of dollars of losses. And these things happen all the time. So if we truly trust Hashem, then when He says not yet, we also trust Him. How difficult is it to get your kid when they want something and they're begging and they're counting on you and say, not yet? It's hard for us too, but we know that that's the right answer. So